Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take complex topics, sift through the sources, and really try to extract the most important nuggets of knowledge and insight just for you.
And today, our mission is to explore a truly fascinating new book. It's one that's definitely got us thinking differently about the future.
It really has. We're taking a deep dive into evolution, how AI is transforming thought, decision-making, and human potential. It just came out from Praxeotech in 2025.
And look, this isn't just another tech book explaining AI models or, you know, the latest hardware. It offers a profound new framework. It's something different.
That's exactly why we loved it so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's not giving you dire warnings or some kind of manifesto. It's a really powerful argument for thinking about AI as a collaborator.
Mm-hmm.
It pushes back against that common idea, you know, AI is a battle or this existential threat. Instead, it asks this great question. What if AI isn't here to replace us, but to reshape us?
Yeah, and it does that by building on these two core human frameworks, or triangles, as the book calls them, mind, body, spirit, and thought, behavior, emotion.
Right.
And then introduces a third one specifically for AI, assistant advisor agent.
It ends up being this fantastic roadmap, really, mm-hmm. for navigating the world that's emerging right now, helping you understand what it means to be human when, well, intelligence isn't just our thing anymore.
Exactly. And the book starts by grounding us, laying a foundation in our own internal world. It establishes what it calls the first triangle, thought, behavior, and emotion.
And the way it introduces this is just brilliant. It uses this character, Mia. She's in a cafe, just observing people, a kid fascinated by cakes, a woman getting frustrated in line.
Uh-huh.
And she has this realization. Her thoughts aren't just abstract things. They're actively shaping how she feels, her emotions, and those emotions, they drive what she does, her actions.
And ultimately, those actions shape her life.
Totally. Then later, she's at a train station, and she catches herself thinking, oh no, did I mess something up? And she sees, right there, how that one thought is coloring her whole experience.
That's the aha moment, the realization that you can actually choose a different story. You don't have to buy into that first negative thought.
So powerful. And what the authors really reveal is how these three thought, behavior, emotion aren't separate things operating independently.
No, not at all. They're in this constant feedback loop. They're always interacting.
Like the example they give, waking up to a cloudy day, if your first thought is, ugh, miserable day.
Right, that thought can instantly make you feel sluggish. Maybe you hit snooze, maybe you put off starting your work.
The thought shapes the emotion, which drives the behavior.
Exactly. But it works the other way, too. If you're feeling really calm and centered, that positive emotion can lead to clearer thinking, more constructive thoughts.
And maybe more proactive behavior. Get things done.
Precisely. And stress, of course, can trigger negative self-talk and make you want to just, you know, procrastinate or avoid things.
But the key insight, and this is why we found this part so useful, is that you're never actually stuck.
Right, because behavior also feeds back. The book mentions this fascinating idea of forcing yourself to smile, even if you don't feel happy, can actually nudge your emotions in a more positive direction. Small actions can shift your internal state.
So you can jump into that loop at any point.
Any point. Challenge the thought, like Mia did. Or work on regulating the emotion, maybe through mindfulness. Or you can just act. Do the thing you don't feel like doing, knowing that sometimes the motivation follows the action.
It gives you a practical tool right now to start rewriting your own narratives and, well, reshaping your emotional world.
Absolutely. It's the foundation. And building on that, the book introduces the second triangle, mind, body, and spirit.
Okay, so this is like zooming out a bit, a deeper framework.
Exactly. It's presented as the deeper framework of our whole existence as individuals.
And again, they use a story, right? Leo's story.
Yes, Leo. He feels this deep tiredness, not just physical, you know, needing sleep. It's like his work, his exercise, his hobbies. They all feel kind of distant, lacking spark. Right. And his breakthrough comes in this very mundane moment at the kitchen sink. He just stops the mental chatter, the overthinking.
Mm.
And he notices. He notices his body's signals, feels the fatigue, but also senses this deeper thing that's missing what the book calls spirit, that sense of purpose or connection.
And that moment of just being present and aware of the whole picture.
Exactly. And it highlights how these three, mind, body, spirit, are so deeply interconnected. The mind, obviously, this incredible engine for creativity, but also, you know, self-doubt.
The book touches on neuroscience here too, doesn't it? Brain circuits, the mind-body connection.
It does. And psychology, philosophy, looking at consciousness itself. Then there's the body, our vessel, how we experience the world.
And the connection there is key too, like how physical reactions might actually cause emotions. The James Lange theory idea.
Yeah, that counterintuitive idea. You don't run because you're scared. You feel scared because your body's doing the running, heart-pounding thing. Your mind interprets the physical signals as fear.
Wild.
Yeah.
It really flips the script on how we think about feelings.
It does. And then the third element, spirit, which can feel a bit elusive sometimes.
Yeah. What exactly do they mean by spirit?
The book frames it as our source of meaning, purpose, connection. Not necessarily religious, but that deeper sense of why. It talks about practices like mindfulness or meditation as ways to cultivate this.
Okay, so mind, body, spirit, all interconnected.
And the book is really practical here. It gives you ways to strengthen each part for the mind. Keep learning, challenge your own thinking, but also give it rest.
Like reading or puzzles or just quiet time.
Exactly, for the body. The essentials movement, good food, sleep, but also really listening to what your body's telling you.
And for the spirit.
Reflecting on your values, acts of kindness, gratitude, finding rituals that connect you, whether that's meditation, art, community, nature, whatever works for you.
So understanding this whole integrated system helps you navigate life's complexities better. Unlock your potential, as the title says.
Right. And then the book does something really clever. It connects these first two triangles. It overlays them.
This is the double triangle part.
Yes. It shows how that internal loop of thought, behavior, emotion interacts constantly with the deeper framework of mind, body, spirit.
Yeah.
This shapes your entire worldview, sort of the invisible architecture of your experience.
Okay, let's break that down. How do they connect spirit and behavior, for example?
Ah, this is fascinating. They bring up the classic Princeton Good Samaritan study. You remember that one?
Vaguely. Seminary students, someone in distress.
Exactly. Students, some actually on their way to give a talk about the Good Samaritan parable, walked right past someone clearly needing help if they were told they were running late.
Wow. So being in a hurry overrode their spirit or values in that moment.
Precisely. It's a stark illustration that our behavior isn't always a direct line from our beliefs. Circumstances matter a lot.
So true fulfillment or authenticity comes when you can actually align your actions, your behavior, mm-hmm. with those deeper values, your spirit.
That's the core message. And research backs this up. Studies show that believing an action aligns with your values makes you way more motivated to do it.
Makes sense.
And acting authentically, doing things that feel genuinely you, reflecting your values, is strongly linked to happiness, better relationships, higher self-esteem. It's about ditching the mask.
And there's also a connection to resilience.
Definitely. Research shows spirituality, again, that sense of meaning and connection is linked to higher life satisfaction and better mental and physical health, helping people bounce back from adversity.
Okay, so that's spirit and behavior. What about body and feeling? Or body and emotion, rather?
Well, it reinforces that James Lange idea we touched on, that physical reactions often precede the conscious feeling. But it goes deeper.
How so?
It highlights studies showing these universal bodily maps of emotions. Like anger often correlates with sensations in the upper body, chest, arms, head. Sadness might feel like decreased energy in the limbs.
So emotions have a distinct physical signature across cultures.
It seems so, providing a real physiological basis for these subjective feelings. And another study showed that restricted movement, like being in a wheelchair, actually impacts your ability to express and recognize certain emotions, especially things like anger or disgust.
Your physical state literally affects your emotional expression and perception. It's all tied together.
Inextricably. And finally, there's the mind and thought connection.
This feels more intuitive, maybe. Like the power of positive thinking idea?
Sort of, yeah. But grounded in research, your overall mental state, balanced, calm, or stressed and agitated, profoundly impacts your thought patterns. Optimism, for instance, isn't just wishful thinking. Studies link it to better coping skills and life satisfaction.
And this is where things like mindfulness and CBT come in again.
Exactly. They are presented as powerful tools because they work on this mind-thought link. Mindfulness helps you observe thoughts without getting swept away. Meditation calms the mental chatter. CBT directly helps you identify and challenge those negative, unhelpful thought loops.
So understanding all these connections, spirit behavior, body emotion, mind thought, gives you more leverage points to improve your overall well-being.
That's the idea. You can use your body to influence your feelings, use your mind to redirect your thoughts, align your actions with your spirit. It's a holistic approach.
Okay, so we have the internal human landscape mapped out with these two triangles. Then the book introduces the third, AI.
Right, the AI augmentation triangle. Assistant, advisor, agent. This is where the book pivots to how this external force, AI, is integrating with and reshaping our internal landscape.
And the Sophia story captures this shift, right? Her unease realizing her AI is becoming more proactive.
Yeah, it's subtle at first. Her AI isn't just responding, it's anticipating making Smita decisions for her. It sparks that question, how much of my reality is actually my own anymore?
A really important question for right now.
Absolutely. And the book breaks down AI's evolving role into three phases. First, AI as assistant.
This is the AI we mostly know now. Siri, Alexa, Google Maps.
Pretty much. It's about augmenting day-to-day stuff. Getting information, automating small tasks, drafting emails. The focus is on efficiency, augmenting our thinking.
Like an invisible co-pilot, as the book says.
Exactly. Though Sophia's choice to turn off navigation and just wander highlights that tension, reclaiming a bit of agency from the optimized path.
Okay, so assistant is phase one. What's next?
AI as advisor. This is a step up. It's not just about efficiency. It's about strategic guidance, higher level reasoning.
So less about what's the fastest route and more about what's the best strategy.
Right. Think AI analyzing data to give you financial advice or personalized health recommendations or complex business strategy insights. It's about helping you make better judgments, decisions aligned with your deeper goals and values.
The book uses the marshmallow test analogy here, doesn't it?
It does. Just like delaying gratification helps kids later in life, AI advisors help us think longer term, plan more strategically, rather than just reacting in the moment. They help make better decisions, not just faster ones.
Okay, assistant advisor. And the third one is agent.
AI as agent. And this, the book argues, is the most profound shift, because here, AI moves from telling you what to do or advising you to actually doing things on your behalf.
Acting autonomously.
Yes. Managing your budget, scheduling your meetings, booking your travel, maybe even negotiating simple deals online. It's executing tasks in the world.
This feels like a bigger leap. Overcoming that old paradox. More of X paradox.
Exactly. Where robots found physical tasks hard, but complex calculations easy, AI agents are getting much better at those easy, real-world actions. Sophia's AI scheduling things without her direct input is convenient, sure.
But also
raises that delicate dance of personal agency. Where does your decision end and the AI's begin? It blurs the lines.
Yeah, big questions about trust, responsibility, who's actually in charge?
Huge questions. And the book stresses that you need to understand these distinctions, assistant, advisor, agent, so you can consciously choose the role AI plays. To be an active co-creator with AI, not just a passive consumer of its outputs.
Which leads us to the final piece. Bringing it all together.
Yeah.
The triple triangle.
Yes. This is where the book synthesizes everything. It integrates the two human triangles, thought, behavior, emotion, and mind, body, spirit, with the AI triangle of assistant, advisor, agent.
Creating a new model for human potential in the age of AI.
Exactly. It uses that great centaur analogy from chess. The human player plus AI consistently beats either human or AI alone.
So AI isn't replacing us, it's augmenting us. Like a cognitive exoskeleton.
That's the vision. Doctors using AI diagnostics outperform those who don't. Artists using AI tools create in entirely new ways. AI becomes this 24/7 partner, enhancing almost every aspect of life.
The book breaks this down into specific areas, right? Learning, creating.
Yes, four key areas. First, AI for learning. It talks about the limitations of traditional education and the rise of AI tutors. Personalized learning, available anytime, anywhere, adapting to your pace. Micro-learning, deep dives on demand.
Like having the world's best tutor always available.
Pretty much. Second, AI for creating. This is incredibly exciting. AI tools lower the barrier to entry for writing, music composition, filmmaking.
Making creators out of consumers.
That's the idea. Democratizing creativity. If you have an idea, AI can help you bring it to life.
Okay, learning and creating. What else?
Third, AI for managing life. Basically, AI is your personal chief operating officer, handling finances, scheduling, health tracking, even helping with parenting or hobbies, optimizing the logistics of life.
Freeing up mental bandwidth.
Hopefully. And fourth, AI in the workplace. Taking over routine tasks, scheduling, emails, reports so you can focus on higher level strategic thinking, creativity, collaboration. plus providing powerful data analysis for better business decisions.
So it shifts the nature of work.
The book argues it will, eliminating some repetitive jobs, yes, but creating new roles that leverage human strengths like emotional intelligence and critical thinking, amplified by AI.
And even gets into AI for personal growth.
Oh, definitely. AI for personal growth and well-being. This part is fascinating. It suggests AI can be like a mirror, helping you understand yourself better. Think AI-powered journaling, analyzing mood patterns, guided meditations that adapt to your stress levels.
Even AI chatbots for emotional support or coaching.
Yes, personalized coaching for leadership, communication skills, analyzing your patterns and giving feedback. The potential is there. It even touches on AI for spiritual exploration, like dream analysis prompts or philosophical thought experiments.
Wow, but there's a caution here too, right?
A crucial one. The book emphasizes balance. AI should be a tool to enhance your awareness, your growth, not replace your own effort or intuition. You don't want to completely outsource your personal development.
Be the architect, not the passenger.
Exactly. It comes back to that. This whole triple triangle model is presented as a kind of playbook for living an AI-enhanced life, transforming how you learn, create, manage, and grow. It's a very positive, very actionable vision.
Which really resonated with us. It feels optimistic, but also realistic about the choices involved.
So wrapping up, where does this leave us? We're clearly at a major inflection point. AI isn't just a tool anymore. It's becoming deeply interwoven with our lives, shaping our culture, our economy, our very sense of reality.
And the big question the book leaves you with isn't if AI will change things, but how you will engage with that change. How will you shape AI's role in your life?
Because AI can be all those things we discussed. The ultimate tutor, the creative partner, the life COO, the work assistant, the self-improvement coach.
The potential is immense.
But it requires intention, which is why the book lays out those key rules for this era. Rule number one, be the architect, not the passenger. Design your relationship with AI consciously.
Rule two, keep a human filter. Question AI outputs, fact check. Add your unique perspective. Remember, AI gives answers, humans create meaning.
And rule three, keep learning about AI. Stay curious about how it works, its strengths, its limitations. Understanding it is key to using it wisely.
The book concludes with that really powerful, provocative question for all of us, for you listening. Will we control AI or will AI control us?
And the answer, it suggests, isn't going to come from some top-down decree. It's forged in the choices you make every day.
How intentionally you decide to use these incredibly powerful tools, that's what will determine whether AI replaces us or enhances us.
So the final question the book leaves hanging, the one for you to really ponder, is what will you do with AI? Because that choice, multiplied across millions of us, will truly shape the next chapter of human history.